You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsom.
If you're like me, you love your ed tech, and I'll tell you what, you'd have to be just about living under a rock if you didn't know about 3D printing. And that's okay, if you didn't know about it, you're certainly going to learn about it this time. Our next guest, Mandy Dimitriadis, is from Maker's Empire, and they've made an entire business out of 3D printing, not selling the printers, but creating the software and teaching people how to actually use the software well, even at a kindergarten age. 3D printing certainly fun. And guess what? We even talk about 3D printing chocolate, and who wouldn't love a bit of that?
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed Podcast. My name is Ben Newsom, and I'm really glad to bring you Mandy Dimitriadis. She is the Director of Learning Improvement at Maker's Empire, a startup in 3D printing out of Adelaide. However, they've certainly started up in a big way. These people are doing a heap of work with schools in not only Australia, but also in New York and even into China, not with developing the 3D printers, but actually developing software that kids can genuinely use. I hope you get a lot out of this. I certainly did. It was really fascinating to talk with Mandy about how she's been working with students and teachers to get the best out of the learning environment for 3D printing. And it really is important for kids to learn how to solve problems in a real way. We even talk about how can kids actually design a prosthetic limb using the 3D printing software that Maker's Empire developed. Fantastic. And seriously, they really, really did. So I hope you enjoy this, and I certainly enjoyed it too. Check it out.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Why don't you book us for a science show or workshop in your school? We love seeing students get excited about science, and you will too. Go to physicseducation.com.au and click on schools for more info.
Mandy Dimitriadis, thank you very much for coming on the Physics Ed Podcast.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No, I'm really excited about this because, look, this area that you work in has exploded in the last couple of years, certainly so. But I must say there'll be some people who don't know who you are and what you do. So let us know what you do. What do you do, Mandy?
So I'm currently working as the Education Director for Maker's Empire, but I'm really a primary years teacher. I started life as a primary years teacher. I've worked in junior primary and special ed, and also spent a lot of time in museum education. And more recently, I was working for the Department of Education in South Australia on a range of pedagogy and curriculum roles. And it was while I was working in those roles that I met the guys from Maker's Empire and got really excited about what they were doing. And 18 months later, I'm still with them and having an awesome time.
So you've done lots of cool things.
Yes, I have. Education takes you to some wonderful places, wonderful people, kids, families.
Well, certainly I definitely want to deep dive right into what Maker's Empire is all about. And those people might be wondering what that's about.
Yes.
3D printing and all that type of thing. But you did say a couple of things which I'd like to just find out a bit more about purely because, hey, I've just found it out now. You used to work in museums. Tell me.
Worked mostly at the Maritime Museum in South Australia, where I ran the education programs and worked with all the schools that visited the museum, took them out on historic boats and up the lighthouse and into the museum to learn about mostly the maritime history of South Australia and migration and those kind of things. So that was a pretty cool job.
Oh, fantastic. We've actually got an interview coming up with the Australian National Maritime Museum.
Oh, one of my favourite places.
It is an awesome place. I took my kids there only a couple of weeks ago. It was really hard to pull them out of there, to be honest.
Yes.
And also got some friends also at the Maritime Museum out of Virginia.
Oh, yes. I think I've connected with them too when we were looking at doing some programs via video conferencing.
Yes.
They do that awesome program with the spices.
They absolutely do.
Yes.
It's amazing who you can meet around the planet. And actually,
yes.
And that's why I wanted to chat with them because, yes, you can teach a lot of science through the maritime area. It's fantastic.
Mm, yes.
But I probably should do – I really want to cover what you're currently doing.
Yeah, let's get back to the present.
And for those people who are listening before, yes, we do go on tangents. It will happen. All right, so you've been heavily involved with Maker's Empire. Now, I know exactly who Maker's Empire is, but there'll be some people who don't know you at all. Tell us more about Maker's Empire.
Yeah. Well, Maker's Empire is a company based in Adelaide, but we've now worked with thousands of schools and teachers around the world, particularly the primary middle age group, to get started with 3D design and 3D printing in their classrooms. And Maker's Empire was founded by four friends, really, four guys that met each other at school and university in Adelaide. And then they went off on tangents, went off to do different things around the world. We've got a game developer who worked in Scotland for a long time. We've got people with business accounting, web design backgrounds. So they all reached a time in their lives where they were wanted to start their families, and they wanted to come back to South Australia. And one of the guys, the game developer, Roland, has had at the time a four-year-old daughter, and he'd noticed that whenever he gave her the iPad to use, all the activities and programs she could do were her responding to something that was already there, so matching shapes and so on, but not a way for her to be creative. So he got to wondering whether he could design something that a four-year-old could use to be creative. At the same time, these friends had reunited and they'd bought a 3D printer because they're, to tell you the truth, a little bit geeky. They were intrigued with what a 3D printer could do. So they got those two things came together and Maker's Empire was born, with really easy to use software that helps young people to create things that are 3D printable. And then the company evolved from that to needing to find a purpose for designing and printing. So they realised pretty soon that they needed to position this in education, that it wasn't really about the printing, it was about students having access to these tools to be creative, to solve problems, to make their own stuff.
Well, that's right. I mean, those people, if you haven't been onto makersempire.com, you should check out some of the stuff they've done. And one of the things that really grabbed my eye, and I thought this is just fantastic, is this video where kids are trying to solve the problem of dealing with a prosthetic limb.
Yes, that's right. We're constantly inspired by ways that 3D printing are being used around the world to solve real problems really cheaply and easily. And it was actually a group of students that had looked at the work that Enable does around the world, making prosthetic limbs, and they'd also got to know their teacher's child, who was 2 years old at the time and has cerebral palsy. And this little girl every morning has to have her legs strapped with these quite laborious straps all the way up her legs. And the kids had taken this little girl out into the play yard to play, and they noticed that these straps kept coming undone, they kept getting in the way, really annoying. So they got together, so this was year sixes got together to think about what they could do. And they actually ended up designing some clips in Maker's Empire, printed out a whole bunch of them, trialled them, tested them, and ended up with a plastic clip that holds these straps in place for Casey, the little girl. And to this day, a year later, she's still wearing them and still able to play around without the straps getting in her way. So solving a real problem that mattered was someone they knew and cared about.
What I love about this is it had nothing to do with assessment whatsoever. It was just, we've got to solve.
It totally didn't, Ben. But if you get the achievement standards out for design and tech, it ticked all the boxes.
They would have smashed those, and to be honest, not only for their year group, probably right into middle high school.
It totally did. In fact, I often use that example and show it to teachers first, and then get them to plot it on the achievement standards. And it's off the scale, as well as all the other stuff that came in, all the general capabilities and the empathy and all of those things.
And this is actually really what this whole STEAM movement is. And like, okay, we could get into a debate of whether it's called STEM or STEAM or whatever, To be honest, just this design thinking is critical, because when kids are motivated to solve a problem they care about, they do a good job with it.
They totally do. And to me, like, those kids develop lots of skills in terms of design and so on, but they also now know that if they work together and bring their skills together, they can actually solve problems that matter to them. So to me, that STEM or STEAM is about the disposition that and belief that in yourself that you can actually solve problems. You can be not just a problem solver, but a problem seeker. So if you see another kid like Casey or something completely different, if you follow the processes and work together, you can do something pretty cool.
Well, that's the thing about this, but these the schools getting involved with this. I mean, this is not like one or two schools or three schools. I mean, this 3D printing is really a movement.
It totally is, yes. I guess 3D printers have been around for quite a long time now, and we're seeing great applications in industry, particularly medicine and engineering design. And we've also seen 3D printers in high schools for a while, but they tend to be in the tech studies workshop and they're the domain of the senior years teacher and students with high-level CAD. But what's really exciting for us at Makers Empire is that primary schools or elementary schools are starting to sit up and take notice and see that they can also, their students can also benefit by bringing this 3D technology into the classroom. So that's really taking off.
Well, maybe we can just walk our listeners through what would happen. Like, okay, of course, you could do the year 10, year 11 type course, and of course they're going to do some high level stuff. But just walk us through what would it look like for a year 2 student or a year 3 student doing this type of work.
Okay. Well, to start with, Makers Empire has really easy to use 3D design software, and when we say it's easy to use, that's right. But what that means is the functionality and the look and feel are really designed for the 5 to 12 age groups, are perfect for year 2. But the other thing that happens is all the technical things that happen when you're designing in CAD are still there, but they're happening behind the scenes. So we've kind of taken that high-level need to have technical skills out of there. So everything you create in Makers Empire is 3D printable. So that year 2 student would obviously come on and get to know the software. We've got avatars and all of those kind of things that make it really engaging. But then they can bring what they understand about shapes and moving from a 2D to a 3D space. They, for example, might just create a snowman as their first project by putting different spheres together, adding some eyes and so on. And that's what Makers Empire enables you to do. If you can put shapes together, that you've created a 3D object.
I'm so then sorry. I was kind of laughing because I was thinking as they build a snowman, you need like a Frozen soundtrack or something. And yeah. All the parents just go, no, as they walk the car. Please don't talk about Frozen ever again. Look, my daughter's 8 and we went through the Frozen time. But anyway, I digress.
I have an 8-year-old niece with a Frozen bedroom, so, yep.
Look, kids would love this because, I mean, I have seen the software in action, and dragging and dropping these different 3D structures together seems so implicitly simple.
Yes, it is. It is simple. Yeah,
it's brilliant. And so I kind of wonder that, one of the barriers, I mean, it's probably the barrier, perceived or real, for doing this type of stuff in schools is, well, actually, you know what? You'd know the barriers. You're the one who deals with this every day. So what are the sort of questions that you tend to get about from teachers or educators in museums or whatever about how do I get this going in my classroom? What are the barriers?
Okay, I guess there's a number of barriers. One of them would be to do with the technology, so having a 3D printer in the classroom, so I guess from a safety aspect. So if I talk about that one first.
Yeah, go for it.
One of the things that Makers Empire has done, we don't actually sell 3D printers, but every time a new one comes on the market, the guys buy it because they like new toys and they test it out. So they're actually really well placed to give non-biased advice about 3D printers that work well in classrooms. We've also got our head around all the different safety guidelines for different education departments and so on.
Yep.
And I digress, but literally our offices, we're part of a creative hub, so we're in an old church that,
yeah, I love that space.
It's so cool. That has all different small businesses in creative fields, so music, app development and so on. And there's an old, like, almost industrial kitchen, because this church was also used as a nightclub function centre. So out the back there's an old kitchen, and we have all along the benches and workspaces all our 3D printers lined up, so it's quite a hub. But anyway, I digress a bit.
That's
right. So we've actually found that you can now get 3D printers that are really portable and safe. And by safe, I mean that they are enclosed. So they look a little bit like a microwave or a coffee machine. So all the workings are enclosed, which is kind of a little bit sad because it's cool to see the whole thing working, but it does make it safe. They also have filters, so any particles are sucked up into the air, and use non-toxic plastic, because 3D printers, I'm not sure if people know, they print in all sorts of materials, from precious metals like gold to artificial skin and cement, but the printers that you're likely to be able to afford to use in a school print with different types of plastic, and the plastic that is recommended for a primary school setting is non-toxic. It's made from cornstarch rather than petroleum, and it's biodegradable, so it's a really environmentally friendly and kid friendly way to print. You can bring a printer. It's the printers that we use, that we're recommending at the moment, are about $800 to $900. You can carry them around, they've got a handle, bring them into any classroom, and they just work. You don't even need to put them near a window or exhaust fan. So that takes the whole worry about it being really dangerous out, and it's something everybody can use. Literally, if you can use a microwave, you can use these.
Well, absolutely right. I mean, everyone's got their budget in their school, of course, but it is accessible. I mean, it's less than the cost of a whole bunch of robots to go into a school or whatnot. But even if you didn't want to get it, I mean, the fact that you guys have this facility in the back of the church.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. And I guess the other thing I'd say, Ben, is that you don't even need a printer.
No, because you don't.
Really, the learning happens with design and trying things out and coming up with ideas, and there's so much there. And even if you do want to print, you can outsource it. So there's increasingly 3D printing hubs and libraries and even some office works that will print your design for you.
So what, just out of interest about that, I mean, have you had, like, obviously you do a lot of work with schools, but Let's just go down this path. I mean, libraries and makerspaces, I mean, that's a big thing and growing.
It is, and that's where our key audience is primary schools, but we get a lot of inquiries from libraries, public libraries and school libraries, setting up makerspaces, and a lot of them are including 3D printing and Makers Empire software as part of that. So and what's beautiful about that too is the makerspaces in community libraries are bringing in that cross-generational learning. So you've got little kids designing on Makers Empire and teaching. In one case, I saw a retired engineer who obviously had awesome way of thinking and talking about making, but hadn't seen anything like this before. So you've got that awesome cross-generational link happening.
Oh, it's brilliant, because this is not just happening in Australia. I mean, you guys are not quite global, but geez, you're getting close.
Our core audiences, core schools are in the US, China and Australia, and we also have a few in places like India and South Korea and Hong Kong.
Just wondering, just out of interest, I mean, obviously Makers Empire, I mean, like any place that wants to work well with schools, of course you're going to continue to grow and do good stuff, but the industry as a whole, 3D printing, design thinking, that type of thing. I mean, I kind of wonder, where do you think this is all going?
I think that design thinking is the key to so many things. And I know you said about in general, but when I think about our young students, we don't know what the future is going to be like for them. I guess what we do know is it's going to be changing all the time. So we really need our students to be equipped with the ability to adapt to change and be able to solve problems that we've never come across before in ways that we've never come across before. And I really strongly believe, and this is one of the core philosophies at Makers Empire, that if our students have ways of approaching change and new problems, then they're going to be really well equipped with that. It's not specific skills, but it's a way of thinking and being open new ways of thinking and change. And I think design thinking is one of the best ways of doing that, having a process that you can really bring to any situation that you face. And it also, what design thinking does is helps us take a tricky situation or challenge and turn it into an opportunity to explore ideas and test things out and solve problems, come up with new ways of doing things.
So what are some of the cool lessons that you've seen teachers produce? Like, I mean, teachers are highly creative people. And,
absolutely.
I'd love to hear just what sort of things have you seen that have been teacher-led, that have been done by
the teachers? Definitely. Yeah. And when we were talking before about the challenges, and I went down the safety road, the other challenge is teachers feeling like they can use these 3D technologies in their classroom, and that they actually have time to do that. It's in a crowded curriculum that these technologies actually can be part of the whole curriculum, not just technology. So I guess the great examples I've seen have been where the teacher has brought everything together, so almost like a project-based approach where the students are working through design, but they're also bringing in lots of other areas. So, for example, in fact, I was just watching a little video that a school made, that we have a school that we're working with called Mandala. It has 35 students, and it's really close to the Victorian border in South Australia. Yeah. And these 35 students heard about the local Progress Association put out a request, like a competition, to design a new entrance to the town. So the students, they're all in the same class, they all worked together to explore this idea. So the teacher took this up and thought, this is a great opportunity. So an entrance, as in welcome to Mandala. So the students went out to the different road entrances in the town. They did lots of measurement. They thought about road safety, things like, if we design an entrance, we don't want it to distract drivers and have people running off the road. So what's too much and what's just right? And then they were also measuring angles and so on about where would we need to position our artwork or sculpture so that people coming in can see it. And then they went back to school, and they used Maker's Empire to create their different designs. And they were thinking about how would they communicate what's important to Mandala. So they were thinking about history, they were thinking about industry, things that are important to the area today. And then they were working, so this is students from 5 to 12 years old, then worked together to create these 3D printed prototypes, took them to council, and now the council are working with the kids to design this entrance to the town. So wow. Awesome example, and bringing in the community and bringing in all the learning areas that had everything in that example.
It's just embedded in real life. That's just awesome.
Yeah. Yes.
Obviously, that's a proper jump into it. Like, that's really going.
Yes.
You know, I love it. I mean, of course, there'd be some people that'd be a bit tentative. They know they want to do it, but they're not too sure to start.
Yeah, totally. But, yeah.
How do you help those people?
And really, Maker's Empire is designed for people just getting started. So when you get into Maker's Empire, we have a whole lot of support structures to support kids and teachers to get started. So we have challenges set into the software. So Maker's Empire, really easy to use software with a challenge module that guides you through using our different design tools and gradually introducing you to different ideas. So that's a way that we support those teachers. We also have quite an extensive library of lesson plan ideas. I think I'd like to say 100. I think it's 92, but let's say 100.
Oh, you can get the last 8. Come on, you can do it.
I know. It's on my list, Ben, I promise. what our lesson plan library is a range of ideas that across the K-8 level, all aligned to Australian curriculum and US Common Core and so on, but that show how you, there are ideas really about how you might align 3D printing and 3D design to different areas of the curriculum and bring the design process into that. So there's step-by-step lessons that some teachers might like to follow, or just go to this library to get ideas. And there's a whole range of things there, things like the example that jumped to my mind is a lesson for year one level, where students design and print their own bubble wands, and it's a step-by-step how you might do that in Maker's Empire. And then, of course, they use their bubble wands to make observations about bubbles and bringing in the light and all those kind of science aspects from the year one curriculum.
That's awesome. And I also know you've been working on a number of different versions of professional development as well, which is really handy if you're in a classroom just going, look, I just need to get this going properly.
Yep, totally. All of our new schools that come on board get a 2-hour session to make sure that they're feeling, that teachers are feeling confident and happy and know how to use everything. And then we have a range of other professional development that we can offer because really one of the key things to integrating educational technology is teacher confidence. So that's why we've gone down that track. And that's where I come in, really. Like, apart from 92 lesson plans, I work with our new schools and help them to get come on board successfully. Yeah.
Well, so what do you think the future for Maker's Empire itself is going to be? Like, it's always hard. There's a weird question, because what could that be?
Well, I'll tell you what our vision is. Our vision is that it's really about accessibility. We would love every child in the world to be able to access Maker's Empire and be a 3D designer and have it as one of the tools. So not just 3D printing is the new thing that we're doing this year, and next year we're on to coding or robotics, but have 3D design and 3D printing as one of the tools that every child has access to. So when they're coming up with an idea or facing a problem, they might pick up their pencil, they might pick up their camera, or they might pick up some 3D design tools and have a go at designing something.
That's fantastic. I mean, there's so much we can go ahead with this. I mean, also, if people are just interested about what can be done in 3D printing in the real world in industry, I guess we could always just check out what's on YouTube about, and there's some fantastic things with
cars
and all the rest. What have you seen?
One of the stories that I've been excited about lately came out of an African country. I can't remember which one, but somebody has developed a 3D printer that will print in mud. So this person is printing houses for people out of mud. So apart from his cost in developing and supplying this 3D printer, he's producing houses for people in need for no cost at all. So that's pretty awesome.
I'm the interrupter.
And then every day, amazing stories coming out of the medical field. Like scientists have developed almost exactly human skin that can be 3D printed for burn victims and things like that. And also, I love the idea of bringing design and medicine and whatever else together, because I think this is part of what we want our kids to know, that if you bring a way of thinking, a design way of thinking, together with that collaborative way of thinking. So if I've got a problem, if I find people and processes to help me, we can solve it together. Awesome examples around that. And one of them that jumps to mind is something I read about with some co-joined twins, and the surgeon worked together with a designer, and they actually 3D printed a model of the section of the two babies' bodies that were joined. So that enabled the surgeon to practice and to work out the best way to separate these twins before it even touched them. So when you think about what that must have done for ensuring a much more successful outcome and less intrusive, was pretty awesome. And it worked, by the way.
What I love about this is that you can go from, you know, the real life-changing examples, I mean, building houses in Africa, through to medicine. I mean, that's fantastic. Yeah. All the way through to the outright frivolous. I mean, I watched you do a lesson once, and you were mentioning printing with chocolate.
Absolutely. In fact, Hershey's have brought out a printer that's now available at the consumer level, where you can design anything you like. Like, you could even scan your body and print yourself out in chocolate. And as you say, that's not going to solve many world problems, probably create a few, but it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, hello to all you chocolate makers out there. As a side note, and this aside, I actually read a great article. I think it was in New Scientist, or was it Cosmos magazine, about the 4,000 odd different chemicals that are found within chocolate.
Oh my goodness!
And yeah, there are. It's serious. It's not just theobromine. Theobromine. The main part, which is, you know, makes people go, "Oh, that is chocolate. That is a flavor." There are a lot of antioxidants involved, and there are some good benefits to chocolate, especially the dark stuff. I mean, I must say, I'm a dark chocolate person, not so much the white chocolate. Uh-huh. But hey, we've all got our flavors.
Absolutely. Yeah, I believe dark chocolate washed down with red wine, isn't that right?
Okay, so that's a lesson plan for tonight for all you people.
I don't know how I'll get that into the private K-8 age group.
Maybe on the tertiary level. Oh, look, fantastic. Well, thank you very much for coming along. I mean, it's been a really pleasure. It's a pleasure, I mean, to have a chat with you, especially when you're so busy dealing with all these schools, you know, across, you know, Australia, US and China. It's hard to grab your time. But obviously there's going to be some people here who are, you know, obviously stoked to get involved with Maker's Empire. I mean, what would you say would be their first steps?
Well, I would suggest hopping onto our website and having a look at what we do. So that's makersempire.com. And one of the things you can do there is sign up for a demo. So we run regular demo sessions where we can walk you through everything we've got. So a demonstration of our easy-to-use software and also the resources to support teachers. So the lesson plans and our management tools and PD and all of those things. So definitely hop on to makersempire.com. And you can also download Makers Empire software, so either through the App Store or at makersempire.com. The software works on all platforms, so Mac, PC, Android phones, iPads, etc. So hop on, have a play, look at those challenges I was talking about.
Absolutely. So, and what we'll do is we'll hook that all up in the show notes as well, so people can click and go find out more as much as they want to do.
That's fabulous. Please do that.
Thank you very much. And that, Mandy, much appreciated. And no doubt you're going to have to go run off to a school.
I am actually.
Yeah, I knew. So I had to really make sure we're right on time. But look, much appreciated. And look, we might catch you another time.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'd love to do that.
All the best.
Thank you. Thank you.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
Thanks so much, Mandy, for coming on the Physics Ed Podcast. I know you do a lot of work with your team on making sure that the software you've created is usable for kids. I mean, it's too easy to create a software package, and send it out to the world and just go, you know what, that's how it's going to be. You guys work very hard in making sure that your lessons genuinely work at all types of curriculum levels. And we are really well done. And I'd love to just go through some of the takeaways that I grabbed from this interview, and perhaps you as a listener might have other ones as well. And hey, throw them in the comments. Please do so. It's always good to know what you're taking out from these podcasts. So me, lesson number one for me was, if you're an education app developer, maybe consider making your software easy to use. I mean, it seems odd to say that because as a developer, of course you want your software to be easy to use. But think of it from the user perspective, especially think about what it's like to use your software if you are 6 years old. I mean, imagine if you were 6 years old and you're trying to use a piece of software where it's asking you to do things that you can't read, and it's asking you to do numbers that you can't really add up or multiply. It gets really difficult, let alone trying to think about a 3D environment, a spatial environment, which is hard to get your head around at the best of times. And obviously, Makers Empire did a very good job with this. Secondly, if you are, again, working in education app development and you're working with schools, please consider taking the time to create some professional learning opportunities for teachers. Teachers really, really, really want to be able to work with you and make sure that the lessons that they want to do certainly fit with what your app can do. So professional learning opportunities aren't just about you showing off what your software can do. It's a two-way street. Teachers know a lot about what actually works and what doesn't work in their classrooms. And it's a real opportunity for you as an app developer to listen to teachers' requests and requirements. It certainly can help. And maybe consider creating a suite of background notes for teachers to use, and they'll especially love you if you link it to the curriculum in your country. And also maybe consider working out how it can work with curriculums in other countries too. Finally, if you're a teacher, consider 3D printing as part of your overall teaching plan. Now, let's be honest, not everyone can afford 3D printers up front. Let's just be honest, some are just too expensive for certain environments, and we totally understand that. However, if you can get a download of the software for Makers Empire, at least your kids can experience creating stuff within a 3D environment. And from there, maybe you could pair with another school to perhaps co-purchase a 3D printer. Or in the case of Makers Empire, I know that if you get in touch with them, you can probably create your software where they can print something off for you at a small cost. So there are a couple of different ways this can be done. Don't think about cost as being a barrier for kids to be able to at least understand what happens in 3D printing and why this is potentially a game changer when it comes to the future.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Love your science? We do too. Here's this episode's Education Tip of the Week. grab your pencil and get ready to make some notes.
So for this week, I'd like you to consider getting kids to go back to basics and make a science poster that really communicates something they really are passionate about and care about and they want to tell the world about. So let's see if we can go through some of my 6 tips for kids creating a great science poster that really works. Number one, make the content obvious. I mean, that's pretty obvious, right? Make the content obvious. But sometimes you look at a science poster in a classroom and you go, what are you trying to actually tell me? So get the kids to really make the illustrations and the fonts clear and everything really obvious. And that actually brings us to number two, font size matters. Sometimes when you look at science posters created by kids and they've got tiny little itty bitty writing and you can't really see it unless you're really, really close. Really, you should be able to see what is the content about, especially if you can stand back 5, maybe even 10 meters in your classroom. That actually forces kids to think very carefully about the content they're going to put on their science poster that will communicate their message effectively, which means they're going to have to learn to edit and color it. And that actually is important. And when it comes down to not only editing, you've got to edit your content so that, number 3, the content works with your audience. Who is this science poster designed for? Is it for the kids in the room? Is it for the teacher in the room, especially if it's about a mark? But it doesn't always have to be about a mark. It could be about, are you communicating an idea in your science poster for a parent night or for a science festival, perhaps? Know your audience. How educated is the audience? What is their background in the audience? What would make the audience want to read the science poster in the first place? And tip number four, more imagery, less words. No one likes really a block of text. It really doesn't help much, and especially, like I said before, the font is really, really small. You don't want to do that. Get some images that sing, that really show what is it that you're trying to communicate. It can really help. Now, number 5, which is often missed, is acknowledgements. Acknowledge where you got your source of information. What are your references? Especially as you go further and further through school and then into university, you need to acknowledge your source of information. Otherwise, people can actually question you and say, well, are you just making stuff up or is there actual background and research to what you're doing? And finally, 6th tip, when you're making a science poster, sometimes simple is best. And isn't that really key for everything? So there you go. Jump on to a simple project this week. Get your kids considering putting a science poster together that really sings.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled FIZZICS.
As we discussed with Mandy, getting kids to learn for themselves and find out things for themselves and solve challenges for themselves is so critical, not only in school, but for life in general. And in a past episode, Ali Faraj from the GWS Giants certainly was a big fan of becoming a facilitator in the classroom and giving students the time and the space to explore their world and coming up with their own ideas about how the world works.
So the beauty about it is, how do you get into a pedagogy where you're letting kids explore? And it's not about the teacher stepping back, but it's about the teacher becoming a facilitator and a coach rather than a dictator. And rather than sitting at the front of the classroom giving them a sheet about electricity and getting them to write it down. But how do you get kids to start to explore? How do you get them to start to become, I guess, people of questions? Why would you give us a lemon? Can it generate enough electricity? What is in a lemon to give you electricity? And then for them to find, a resolution for themselves and come back to you and discuss it. One, and the beauty about it was one person's answer was different to the other.
Yes, and you can definitely check out that episode with Ali Faraj, Imad Al-Kir and Gav Robertson from the GWS Giants as we talk about education and sport in the last week's podcast. And it's definitely worth checking out.
Thanks for listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. Sign up now for our fortnightly email newsletter. It's loaded with details on new experiments you can do, STEM teaching articles, new gadgets, exclusive offers, and upcoming events. Go to physicseducation.com.au. Scroll to the bottom and add your email.
And that just about brings us to the end of yet another Physics Ed podcast. Look, thanks for listening on in. There are still so much more you can do. Jump on our badly spelt website, FIZZICS, education.com.au, and you will find hundreds of teaching articles and free science experiments that'll certainly help you out in your school. Really, really check it out. And hey, next week, listen in as I speak with Jan Zanitas, my very good friend Jan Zanitas from CILC, the Center for Interactive Learning and Collaboration. These guys are fantastic. They have thousands of schools and hundreds of museums, zoos, aquariums, galleries in every key learning area. We're talking science, history, maths, arts, you name it, they probably have it. This is a meet space. We've got all these schools and museums all in one internet spot, CILC.org, where they can meet each other and organize distance education classes. We're talking web conferencing and video conferencing. Jan Zanitas has heaps of experience and CILC has been around since 1994. They really do know what they're talking about when it comes to global education, and I really think it'd be worth your time jumping on next week's podcast. And as always, make your science lessons be fun, may your science lessons be informative, and please make sure you're grabbing your students' imagination. You've been listening to me, I am Ben Newsom, always will be Ben Newsom. Yeah, you've been listening to me, Ben, and I am from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book, and more, go to physicseducation.com.au.